All right, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you for joining us on Power Friday. I'm speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. This Power Friday, I'm speaking with Dr. L. Diane Bennett. And Dr. Bennett, I tell you what, I appreciate the expertise that you bring to the table and helping us understand that we need to do what is in our power to do to help ourselves. And one of the things that you want to empower us to do is, number one, of course, go for the gold whenever we're doing what we're doing, whether it's for nonprofit, whether it's with a for-profit, whether it's with our religious organizations. You want us to go for the gold, but you help us understand how to do that. And one of the ways is by developing what I'm calling a dream team. And so one of the things that you share with us is that there are ways that we can, once we got that team established, we can help to make them effective and dynamic. Can you share with us some of the things we need to keep in mind as we're bringing team members on board, and then move to talking about how to make them effective and dynamic?
Absolutely. You know, Carl, one of the things that that I always say, and with my business, I work with a lot of corporations and nonprofit government agencies. I just run the gamut. And one of the things I say to them when they, and what is organizational effectiveness? What is an organizational effectiveness practitioner or expert? What I do is people call me when they have a team that's not performing as it should, or they have a new team and they're dealing with a new situation, a new dynamic, or they have an old team with a new boss, a new manager. And so what I do is I come in, and one of the first things I do, and I say this to anyone that is looking to build their team or to expand on the team you currently have, is first of all, I call it know who's in the room. Who's on your team? Not just what's on their resume. What do you have a conversation with people. What are you passionate about? What is it you really, really enjoy doing? And I say that even about yourself. And, you know, in nonprofit work and faith-based work, you know, we all talk about our calling, or we talk about, you know, this is what I'm called to do, or this is my ministry. Well, some people can't figure out what that is. And the same thing with business and with building a team. It's a lot of things you can do, but is that the thing that you need to focus on? I remember, and I said when I started my business, and I've been in business for myself now, next month will be 17 years. And 17 years ago, when I started my business, it was at the height of a recession. It was during that first term of President George W. Bush. And I had a lot of government contracts, a lot of government clients. With the recession, everything shut down. Everything dried up. And so then what I had to do was, I had a business, I collateralized my business loan, used my house to collateralize that loan, and I can't afford to quit, okay? I can't afford to say, I'm going to go back and work for the government. No, that's not an option. And so what I did when I started, which is the mistake that a lot of people make when they're starting a business. You remember Garfield, the cartoon Garfield?
Yes, ma'am.
And you know, there was a dog called Odie. And yes. Odie salivated over everything. You know, it's like, Odie, you're just salivating. And I use that example to kind of describe me when I first started my business. I started that business and I was salivating. I was like, people ask me, can you do it? Yeah, I can do that. And I'm like, I was all over the place, all over the map. And I was like, you know what? I can do that. And then I talked to a good friend of mine, who at that time she was the HR director at Census, and then she went over to the Department of Commerce, and she and I were talking last night, as a matter of fact, and she's retired from federal service, and now she's doing another thing with a nonprofit there in the area. And what she said to me really kind of snapped my head back. She said, what is it you really want to do? Not what can you do, but what is it you really, really want to do? And at that moment, it was a major reality check for me, because I said, you know what, Tyree, you're so right. I want to be a master trainer. I'd gotten the credentials to be a master trainer with Census. And I said, but I want to train. I want to facilitate beyond government. And she said, well, why don't you do that? And then what I did, like a lot of us do, I started just rattling off all of the reasons why I couldn't do it. Well, you know, I got this. Well, you know this. And after I rattled off about four or five things, she stopped me. She said, LD, why are you talking yourself out of your blessing?
Wow.
I will never forget that. And when she said that, she said, if you want to be a trainer, if you want to be a master facilitator and you want to expand your footprint, she said, you have so much to offer. Why are you hesitating? Do it. And those were, and my mindset is when I hear a command, I respond to commands. I'm like a dog, a Pavlov's dog. You know, I respond to a command. And it's probably because my dad was in the military and we come from a military family, but my mother was very regimented, God rest her soul. And my mother went, hey, we're not doing that. And if you say that to me, I immediately stop. So when Tyra said to me, do it, stop messing around and do it. And I'll never forget where I was. I was at my desk in my office, and I stopped and I said, okay, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. And so what I then had to do is what a lot of you have to do is refocus your thinking. Not about what can I do, what is it I want to do, and what am I called to do. And so when you can line up what you want to do, that's your passion, that's the thing that really drives you, with the thing that you know, okay, this is my calling, this is what I'm put here to do. And all of us were created for a purpose. Now, do all of us figure out what that purpose is? No. A lot of us kind of wander through life and stumble into things. But I made a conscious decision to really focus in on, and I had to refocus my attention, and I also had to refocus my prayer life. Because sometimes, you know, you start praying, and you're praying like Odie. Give me that. And so finally, what I really refocused and said, this is what I want to do. Whatever the skills are that I need to do, what I need to have to get this done, I'm going to do that. And so when people would call me and say, hey, LD, can you do that? I said, yes. And my favorite phrase was, I got a guy. If that didn't fall within that training mantra, that training rubric, I would defer work to other people. Now, a lot of times people think that's counterintuitive. I'm giving work to other people and I need work. Well, I'm giving work to other people because that's not what I want to do. That's not where I want to focus my energy and my attention. But you get what you give. If you are generous and you give to other people, other things will come to you. When I would give work to someone else, hey, guy, this is a great opportunity for you to do this, they would call me up and say, hell, D, you got the work. Thanks so much. And then before the week was out, the Lord would bless me, and someone would call me and say, hey, LD, we'd like for you to do some training on blah, 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 blah. And so that has really become the way that I live. I have always believed in, as you give, you receive. And I believe that. I believe that that law of reciprocity really spills over into every aspect of our life. It's not just at church. It's not just in my Bible study. It's in my life. And so that's what I live by. You get what you give. And so what I say to folk is, number one, look at who's on your team and also assess your skills and your passion, your talents and gifts. Look at it. Say, okay, I can do that, but is that really what I want to do? And you will find your passion. Here's a cue. How do I know what my passion is? How do I know where I'm supposed to be, what my purpose is, LD? Look at where your talents lie. Look at where you are most gifted. I am a gifted talker. I organize. I'm engaging. I'm stunningly attractive and arrestingly charming, and I'm modest on top of that. So when you think, but I had to look at those things that really lined up with my desire and my passion to do this work. So first of all, assess what your skills and talents are. What are my gifts? What are my passions? Then look at the people on your team. Ask them questions not on their resume. Because we can look at the CV and see that, okay, you work here, here, and here, and you have these skills. But what are some things that are not on your resume? Some people have a passion for writing, but it's not on their resume. It's not in their job description, so they rarely get a chance to use that talent. But if you would think outside of the box and really go in, dig deep, and ask people what are those talents and skills that they are not using and they're passionate about, you will find so much in that dream team that's not on a resume. So when you start trying to build a dream team, assess the talent. That's number one. Assess the talent. Number two, ask the right questions. So in order to ask the right questions, I'll refer a book to you. The book is by Warren Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R. And what Berger says, the title of the book is A More Beautiful Question. And let me give you the skinny on the book. I'll give you the cliff notes. What he says is that from the time we are able to speak, we are conditioned and we are rewarded for answers. So, you know, little kids are you know, when they start learning the ABCs, A, B, C, D, E. Okay, we reward them by giving them a piece of candy. They get obese, but anyway, they've learned that we rewarded them for that. When they go to school, from the time they start school to the time they graduate, whether they go through high school and all the way through college or whatever, we are rewarded for answers. We're the guy that says, ooh, 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 call me, pick me, I got the answer. I was that, you know, I was that person in school. Pick me, I got the answer, don't call them, call me. And so we are constantly rewarded for answers. On our jobs, we are rewarded for answers. We are rewarded. We are the person that says, hey, the boss says, this is a problem. You say, hey, I've got that answer. But what Berger says is that we need to flip the script. We need to, instead of supplying answers, we need to ask more beautiful questions, more probing questions, more questions that really stimulate our curiosity. And so when you ask those questions of the people that are working with you, you will have that dream team. And when we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about how to flesh out the skills and talents of your dream team.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, did you notice that Dr. Bennett pointed out that the leader needs to assess his or her own skills first, their own talents first, their own passions first, and then move to the rest of the team? Stay with us. She's going to be sharing more principles on building our dream team when we come back.